Thank you very much. Let's give Jesus a good clap on him. He deserves the very best one. Yeah. Now, before you're seated, turn to the one beside you and say, "You look like you've been losing weight." Come on, tell them that. They'll feel better already. Well, it's going to be a great day. Last night, a fellow told me that when I walked in the building last night, he didn't know who I was, and he turned to his wife and said, "This must be a special service today. There's Jerry Jones." Now, you know, I get stopped and asked for his autograph in the airport, and I think I make a better Jerry Jones than he would a Tommy Barnett. Can you imagine somebody going to him thinking he's me and saying, "Tommy, would you pray for me?" Amen. So I think maybe I'd do a better job than he would have been Mary Jones. Well, I've got a lot to say today, but I'm going to get this out of the way, and then we're off and running. Come up here real quick. On the way out, I'd love to meet you and shake your hand and give you a hug. I'm a hugger. Now, if you're not a hugger, buy the book and run, because I'll tackle you and hug you right there in the audience. But I brought something I felt it really would help you. Sometimes what you get helps you more than even the sermon. This is going to be a continuation of what I preach today. It's a sermon that would follow this, entitled Hidden Power. You know, there's a power that God showed me years ago that you don't get by seeking for power. It kind of sneaks up on you, and you learn accidentally of how to receive power that is just unbelievable and movable. This is important. I want you all to get it. I'd be happy to sign. I would like to meet you out there. And then, of course, the books that we have hidden. This one is entitled Multiplication. It's for you that need multiplication in your life and enlarge your circle of love. Anybody you shut out of your circle of love will hurt you, but anybody you include will never hurt you. It's a story of the Dream Center. One more thing, and we're off and running. Tell them, Gary.
Pastor, we've put together a very special USB. Because of the miracle of technology, we are able to put on this one little card 10 of your audio series, over 50 audio messages on this one card. In addition to that, we have illustrated sermons, illustrated skits. We have over 70 full transcript messages, all together over 2 years' worth of messages. In addition to that, though, we went ahead and added 7 of your e-books. So what we've attempted to do on this little card, we've put over $600 worth of resources on here for the people, and we're going to make it a very special $60 this morning. And what we've actually done is try to put Pastor Tommy's entire life on this one little card.
Well, my life's worth more than $60, I'll tell you that, amen. But through the miracle of this, we're able to give you something, literally, that is just years and years and years of work. Well, I guess I'm going to be down there, or how does this work? Well, I shouldn't have fiddled with it in the first place. Do you know how to fix it?
Maybe.
If not, huh? Well, you just preach here, is that right? That's all. I'm fine, thank you very much. I guess I'll have to trust God more, not my notes, amen. You got to forgive me today if I'm just a little extra sentimental. You see, I just turned recently, I'll be turning rather in October, 82 years of age. That's how old that I am. And out of those 82 years, I've been preaching the gospel for 65 years when I was. And I'm really sentimental because I started preaching when I was 16, and my first revival meeting was held in Seminole, Texas. Anybody know where Seminole is? Amen. And started preaching all through West Texas. So I was born in Texas. You can take a guy out of Texas, but you can't take the Texas out of the guy. I love this state, and I love this city, and I love you people. I figured out in these many years I've been preaching. I preached over 20,000 sermons. I've been married to the same old gal for 55 years. Amen. I'd rather fight than switch. Amen. So this morning, this message is more of an impartation than it is a sermon. Because really what God has done in my life, you're looking at a miracle. Now, I can say that without bragging. If I said I was a miracle worker, then I'd be taking the credit, but I'm not a miracle worker. You see, no one is a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. But when I say I'm a miracle, I'm a product of a miracle-working God that can take anybody and use them for His glory. I've been surprised by everything that God has done for me. And so this morning, I want to impart to you a part of my life, and I entitle this message, Surprise Me, Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask not for the joy of preaching a great message, but I have a great truth that I believe that you put upon my heart. I pray, dear God, that this sermon will come through, touch the lives of these people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are several passages of Scripture in the Bible that deals with things that we must do in order to get our prayers answered, our conditions that we must meet. For example, John chapter 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, I want you to notice that it didn't say ask what you want first. It says first, you've got to abide in him and his word has got to abide in you. Prayer is not an Aladdin lamp that you rub together and get things from God. Prayer is not a rabbit's foot. Prayer is a formula that always works. It's not a guess proposition. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, in other words, they live in you, you live in the word lives in you, you live in God and God lives in you, then the Bible says you got carte blanche. You can ask anything that you want. And God said it will be done unto you. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14 is another formula. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then you'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. God is a God of formulas. There is a way, the Bible says here, that a nation can be healed and spared that always works. If God's people, called by His name, humble themselves, seek His face, turn from the wicked way, God said America could be spared. America will not be spared if we clean up the narcotics traffic. It'll not be spared if we clean up the pornography industry or gang violence. The people who are sending America to destruction are people that are sitting right here in this room. God's people, not the devil's people. My people called by my name. They need to humble themselves and pray. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will, not I might or I usually do or I can do it. I will hear from heaven. Forgive their sins. Heal their land. That's a good place to praise God. Because that's God's promise, and that's a formula. Now, a lot of these formulas, don't miss this. I'm setting a foundation. In about 2 minutes, you listen on purpose, and then you'll want to listen. A lot of these formulas have to do with prayer. They're conditions to answer prayer. For instance, Psalms chapter 1. How about this one? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. That is a formula. Here's another one here. Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's a condition. You see, God has different conditions that we must meet in order to have our prayers answered. Now, hear me carefully. Let's suppose that I do that. I meet the conditions for answered prayer that I've just laid out in these scriptures. I have now met God's conditions. And the Bible said, now let him ask what he will, and it shall be done unto him. But wait a minute. There now is a second choice. Follow me closely. The same qualifications for being able to have my prayers answered and to have what I want qualifies me for a second choice. So when I've separated my life, when I'm abiding in Christ, when His Word is abiding in me, then I have a second choice. So better put it this way. We have two boxes that you can choose. Box number one, I may ask anything I want. I've met the conditions. The God said, if I live that way, I can ask what I want. But that also qualifies you to a second choice, and here it is. I may ask what He wants and He wills for my life. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth. Now this may surprise you, but I hardly ever pray for anything personally for myself. Now there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the Bible said, ask, you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be given to you. And over in the Bible, we're commanded to ask, to seek, to knock. That's not what this sermon is about. That is a given. But you know why I hardly pray for things for myself? Because I'm afraid if I pray for something for myself, God may have something bigger and better for me. For instance, if I pray for a pint, that doesn't sound very good, does it? Let's rephrase that. If I pray for a fifth, that's worse yet. Let's try pint again. If I prayed for a pint, I believe that God would want to give me perhaps a gallon if I meet the conditions. So, if I have a choice in the matter, I can say, God, this is what I want. Or I can say, Lord, you choose. I don't think you quite got it yet, so I got to tell you an illustration. It was Christmas time, and my wife said, honey, this year for Christmas, why don't you just give me money? She said, you always buy the wrong size, the wrong color, the wrong thing. Could you just give me money because I know what I want? I said, well, honey, I've already bought your present. Oh, she said, can you take it back? I said, well, I guess I could. So I took it back. I got the money, gave her the money. A few months later, I went shopping with her to the shopping center. And by the way, I'd rather go through 7 years of the tribulation than go shopping with my wife. Amen? Come on, man. Come on. Yeah. The rest of you are scared to clap. I know. We were walking through the mall. I said, honey, would you like to see what I bought you for Christmas? She said, yeah, I'd like to see. And I showed her a beautiful diamond ring in the jeweler's window. Next Christmas came along. I said, honey, you want money? She said, oh, no, you just pick out something for me and surprise me. You see, God wants you to want. He wants you to have what you want. And what He wants you to have is better than what you want for yourself. Someone asked me, Pastor Barnett, if you could live your life over again, is there anything you'd done different? I really had to think about that because I do not live in the past. I'm looking toward the future. It was General MacArthur who said, you can tell if a man is young or old, whether he looks at the sunrise or the sunset. I've always been a sunrise watcher, but I had to think about if I live my life over, because I get that question a lot. Yes, there are two things that I would do better and I would do different. Number one, I would dream bigger dreams and I would take bigger risks. Because every dream that I've dreamed, every vision that I had, every risk that I took, God had something better for me. But the tragic thing is, we say, I want what I want. And God looks down and says, but if you just knew what I had for you. So there's three things I want to say about this that could change your perspective in life. Let's dive into them right now. Number one, His plan is better than my plan. When I was 12 years of age, God called me to the ministry. I wanted someday to pastor a large, successful church. Now, suppose that I'd prayed that God would give me a church that was a large church. The largest charismatic church at that time ran about 1,000 people. Therefore, if I would have asked God for a big church, I would have probably asked Him for a church of about 500, and He probably would have given that to me. But I didn't pray that way. You see, I prayed that God would have His way in my life. But God had something better planned for me. You know, I almost blew it several times. When we needed to build a bigger building in Phoenix, Arizona, we started looking for property to build it. And several times, looking for the property, I almost blew it. I almost prayed that God would give me the 25 acres at Tovery Mountain, a beautiful location in Phoenix. But I didn't ask God to give me the property. I said, God, you got a piece for us someplace. And then we saw the beautiful property next door to Barry Goldwater's estate, overlooking Paradise Valley. It was beautiful. I almost prayed that God would give us that, but I restrained myself. I'm glad I did, because I don't think Barry would have been very happy with those 40 buses that we pulled in, releasing 3,000 American heathens, you know, upon his property. And then we saw 15 acres right on the freeway. Hundreds of thousands of cars would buy that place every week. And we joined hands as deacons. And we almost prayed that God would give us those 15 acres. But then I said, no. Let's pray that God would give us the property we need if this is it, okay. And folks, listen closely to me. We almost missed God. Just imagine. Just imagine what we would have missed if we'd gotten any of those properties. We wouldn't have had room for the 40 buses that brought in 3,000 people every week. We wouldn't have had room to build our auditorium that would seat 6,000 people. And that meant that we wouldn't be able to have Joyce Meyer that we have for the last 15 years. The auditorium wouldn't have been big enough. It would have meant that we wouldn't have had our big Christmas musical where over 70,000 people come and fill that auditorium 17 different times. We wouldn't have had room for the parking, for the prayer pavilion on the side of the mountain that never closes 24 hours a day, our Small World Village for our children, or the youth building, or the Basis High School, our Southeastern College, our Prayer Mountain, or the football field. If I would have prayed that we had those 15 acres on the freeway, think what we would miss. But we prayed, God, somewhere, you got a place for us to go. And the same thing happened in L.A. When we went to start the Dream Center, we outgrew our little church that came out of the Azusa Street Revival. We had to have room. We looked all over. We looked at the Ambassador Hotel. I liked that place. It was famous on Wilshire Boulevard. We looked at a Jewish temple over in Beverly Hills. Unbelievable, beautiful auditorium. I thought, man, I'll get to preach to the movie stars if we move there. And then we looked at the Power and Light Company. It was beautiful. Had a big auditorium. Had all kinds of, six stories high. They wanted, and we gave them, offered them $8 million for it. We thought we had it. The last minute, the Korean church came in and bought it out from under us. But God gave us a piece of property that was twice as big, 15 stories high, 400,000 square feet, 1,400 rooms, less than half the price, and it became the legendary, iconic Dream Center that's known all over the world, and 300 Dream Centers have spawned up for it. You see, God knew what we needed more than what I knew what we needed. And at the time, I couldn't fathom what God had in store for us. And that's why the Bible said, our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard the things. Oh, folks, God's got things for us that He prepared from the foundation from the earth. But we're never going to get these things because we say, this is what I want. But God's got a bunch of stuff for us that He's waiting for us to meet the conditions. And I have a choice now. I can choose what I want, or you can say, God, I want you to choose what I have. And I've come to the conclusion that you'll get a lot more stuff and greater things and live a happier life if you let God choose for you. And you, yeah. Because number one, God's plan is better than mine. But let's move on to number two. I'd rather for Him decide what I get because I don't know what He has. And if I don't know all that He has, how can I ask Him for it? And since God has given me the power of choice and checked the box that I wish to check, I'm just going to say, God, I don't know what you got, but go ahead and surprise me, God. And sometime He comes back and says, surprise, surprise. Kind of sounds like a man on television, amen. Thy will be done. I love the little story. It was during the Depression that a mother and son went to the grocery store, and she bought a few little things because she had not much. As she was checking out the grocery stand, the grocer looked at her little son with her and noticed he was very poor, and he was eyeing the candy jar up that he had there. And finally, the grocer, knowing he could never afford the candy, his mother didn't have the money to buy, said, son, reach in there and take the biggest handful of candy you want. And the little boy just sat there. He said, son, reach in there, take the biggest handful of candy, it's yours. The little boy just stood there. He said a third time, son, did you hear me? Take the biggest handful of candy that you can. He just stood there. And finally, the grocer reached in with his big hand, took out a handful, put it in a sack, gave it to the boy. He walked outside with his mother, and she said, son, I'm ashamed of you. That man was trying to be nice to you, and you didn't do what he said. Why didn't you reach in there and get that candy? He said, mother, I didn't, because his hand was bigger than mine. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. His hand is bigger than mine. I don't know what he has. And I'm going to say, God, I'm going to trust you. Because when you trust God, number one, not only is God's plan better than you, number two, I don't know what he has. Well, here's my favorite one. Number three, I don't even know what I need. And the truth is, sometimes I don't even know what I want. You know, I'm kind of a spoiled brat. God has blessed me. He's given me things I never dreamed, I never thought I'd ever have. He's blessed me in ways that I couldn't imagine. And sometimes God just says, he's spoiled rotten. I'm having a hard time finding things to make him happy because I blessed him so great. I was preaching as a young man one time, years ago, and made this statement. I don't know how I got into it, but I said, if I could have the car of my choice, I'd like to have one of those sports cars, one of those Mercedes convertibles, sport car that is red. I think that's a pretty sport car. Oh, that's all just kind of a passing comment. Years later, there was a couple in our church that was gloriously saved. They were a new couple, didn't have much, and he was coming home from work about 3 o'clock in the morning when a drunken driver ran a stoplight, hit him in the side, instantly killed him. They had no means to even bury the man. The church reached out, paid for the burial, loved this couple, did everything we could. The man who hit him was a very wealthy man, and they had a lawsuit that gave the young lady a lot of money, and then there was the insurance policy. And one day I got a call, and the receptionist says, there's a young lady to see you in the lobby. She wants to see you. She's very, very, very pushy about seeing you. I said, oh, of course. And I came out, and she said, Pastor, I want to show you something. We walked out of the offices and said, look at that. And there was that beautiful Mercedes sports car, convertible, red. And she said, Pastor, as she gave me the keys, that's yours. I said, what do you mean? She said, Pastor, God spoke to my heart to buy you this convertible. I said, oh, I'm taken back. I don't know what to say. But I said to her, I know God wants you to have that car. She said, no, no, no. God told me to buy that for you. I said, but look, let's just pray about it for a week. And we'll come back together and we'll decide what to do on that. You pray about it and I will. I really know what God already has spoken in my heart. A week later, we came back. She said, well, I prayed about it. God said it's yours. I said, well, you know, I prayed about it too, and I believe you need to keep that. That's what God wants you to have. And we argued back and forth. Finally, I said, look, I know you don't want to miss God, and you're not missing God because you obeyed your heart. But I said, I'll be the guilty one because you obeyed God. And finally she said, okay. And I stood there and watched her drive my car away. Amen. And I went in my office and I took my shoes off and I got up on the couch. That's what I do when I get happy and praise the Lord. And I jumped up and down. And I said, dear Lord, I didn't want that dumb car. I just wanted to know that I could have it if I wanted it. Amen. And my son, who now pastors the church, heard that story and said, Dad, I believe God really did speak to her to give that car to a Barnett, but she's had the first name wrong. It's Luke Barnett. Amen. Not quite as spiritual as I was. Amen. I travel a lot. And that means that I eat out a lot. And sometimes all the food tastes the same. And there are times I go in and say to the grocer, look, I'm not the grocer, but to the waitress, I want you to tell the chef to fix the best thing he's got in the kitchen and just surprise me. Yeah. And sometimes I come to God in prayer. And I said, Lord, I've met your conditions. I've met your formula. I've abided in you. Your word has abided in me. I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't stand in the way of sinners. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, God, I'm ready to order. And God said, well, okay, I'll take your order down. Well, God, first of all, I don't know all that you've got. I don't even know what I want. And many times I come to God and say, oh, God, just fix me up the best thing you've got in the kitchen and surprise me, Lord. Have you ever prayed for something that you were sorry that you prayed for? You know, J.D.'s wife, Wendy, she did, and she got Larry. Be careful what you pray for, amen. Have you ever been Christmas shopping and you come up one of those $10 surprise box? You know, you can pay the $10, they'll give you the box and you just have to take a chance what it is. Or you can spend the money on what you want to spend the money on. So let's assume I buy one of those $10 surprise box and when I open it, what's in it? Hair curlers. Now, I dead sure do not need hair curlers. I need what's under those curlers. I need hair. You know, I've tried everything to grow hair. Someone said you put hot packs on your head. I've tried that. Didn't work. Someone said you put cold packs. I tried that. Didn't work. Someone said you rub vodka on your hair. So I bought a bottle of vodka. It didn't work. I drank the rest of it. No, I didn't. I'm joking. I'm trying to keep your attention. Amen. But I've discovered the answer to growing more hair. I'm just going to let my eyebrows grow out and come back over. You got to do what you got to do. How many agree? All right. Back to the $10 box. Let's suppose for a minute that the person who packed that box knew me. Let's suppose that he made me. Let's just suppose that he loved me with a love more than anybody in all the world knows. Let's suppose the person who packed that box owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the gold and silver in those hills. How do you think I ought to spend the $10? I'd buy the surprise box every single time, because my God in heaven loves me. He loves me more than I love myself. He knows what I need more than I know what I need. He knows what I want more than I know what I want. Have you ever had anything bad happen to you and it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to you? Because all we have to judge by is our smell, our sight, our hearing, our feeling. But he who is omniscient knows everything. And that God that knows everything has something for you. And that God who owns everything has something for you. And that God who loves you like nobody else has something for you. So God said, you've met the conditions for answer prayer. Okay, tell me what you want. I'm ready to take your order. Now remember, you can have what you want. You've met the conditions. But before you choose, there's a second choice. God said, if you'd like for me, I'll pick out something for you and give it to you. And brother, I've learned in 65 years of ministry to say, surprise me, Lord. And that's why I scarcely ask God for things for myself. Look, I'm not an educator. When I was asked to become the chancellor of Grand Canyon University with over 1,000 students, when they asked me to become, now I am the chancellor of Southeastern University, I didn't even graduate from college. When they asked me to be the chancellor, I thought this talking about a chandelier. That's how dumb I was. Amen. I'm not qualified. When I went to LA, I wasn't trained in social work. And now there are about 300 dream centers all over the world. Joyce Meyer, when she asked me to be her pastor, and Brian Houston, T.D. Jakes, and a host of pastors, I never sought that, never dreamed that, didn't ever think I wanted any of those things. But they brought joy and fulfillment when God surprised me. I've learned to say, surprise me, Lord, because it's a tremendous way to live. When you live that way every day, it's like it's Christmas time. There's no life in this world like getting what He wants for your life. I want to sum it up this way. My life scripture, my favorite scripture that explains really my life, is in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. See, that's my job, to acknowledge Him. It's His job to direct your path and surprise you. And that's why I like what old Joe Namath, the football player, said. He said, I can hardly wait to get up in the morning to see how good looking I've got during the night. And I can relate to that, amen. It hurts me when you laugh that way. What a way to live. And today I've opened up a new way of living for many of you. But I want to close in prayer. But before I close, close your eyes. Just bow your head. You say, Pastor, I'm living a humdrum life. It's a boring life. Some of you wake up in the morning, the alarm goes off, but there's nothing to get up to, no reason to. You have a mind as sharp as a lawyer. You're young, you're healthy, you're strong, but no will to live. And you look at an old 81-year-old guy up here, can't hardly wait to get up in the morning, traveling the world, being surprised about Almighty God. And that life starts when you give your life to Him. The transition is you give your life to Him and He takes control and fulfills what He wants to bless you and prosper you. He's a good God. So all heads are bowed. I'm going to close by asking everyone in this building to raise your hand. Every head will be bowed. Only God will see your hand. I will. Nobody else will. But it will help me to pray for you to know who I'm praying for. And I'm going to ask for everyone who will say, Pastor, I want to live that kind of life. Life is not like I want it to be lived right now. Pastor, I need God in my life, and I need it bad right now. I need God in my life, in my finances, in my sin. If that's you, you need God, you want to pray for, you'd like to give your life completely to Him, I want you to raise your hand all over this building, and I'm going to pray for you. Raise them high, raise them high, raise them high. Oh, they're going up all over this building. I'm literally taken back. This is beautiful. The Holy Spirit is here this morning. Dear God, you see those who raised their hands. I believe the day was a day that you orchestrated this. I came prepared to preach another message to this city, but you arrested my attention and said, no, this is what you should be preaching. I pray, God, that these people would completely turn their life over to God. I pray for those in this building that need God and they need Him bad. They were lost without God. They need Him and they need Him bad right now. And you said if we'd call upon the name of the Lord, we'd be saved. So I'm stopping my prayer and I'm going to ask everyone in this building, and especially you that raised your hands who said, I need God and I need Him bad. But I want the Christians to join in with Him. And I want this prayer to sound like thunder as we pray the prayer of repentance. Everybody, loud and strong, repeat after me. Dear God, I have sin and I need a Savior. You said if I would call upon the name of the Lord, that I would be saved. I call upon you, God. I repent of my sins. I give my life to you. I want to live a surprise me life. So today I give my heart to you, Almighty God. Thank you for coming into my heart. I want to serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a good clap off you right now. Come on, make it ring. What a God, what a morning. What a way to live.